That was a long time ago, 1957. I was in the acoustic research department at Bell Labs trying to find ways of making better telephones. And I thought it would be wonderful if we could get computers to simulate new telephones so that we could try a new telephone without having to build it, just write a program that pretended to be the telephone. So I developed ways of putting sound into a computer, converting sound to numbers, and then I could write a telephone program in the computer, and of course ways of taking sound out of the computer so that somebody could listen to the telephone and say whether it's any good or not. The only way to tell whether a telephone is good is to listen to it and see if you can understand it and see if it sounds good. So that turned out to work very well and be very important. And in fact, today, about 90% of all telephone conversations are sent digitally over a digital network. But having made this equipment to handle sound, sound is sound, and I knew that then I could write music programs that would make the computer play music. And I was an amateur violinist, and I was very interested in music. So I went ahead and wrote a bunch of these programs to play music on the computer. That's correct. It was a byproduct of telephone research. How did I get interested in science and inventing and things like that? Well, I think that's a very important question. And the answer is that my father had a workshop in the cellar of our house, and he encouraged me to go down there and make things, all kinds of things. And my father was also a science teacher, and he let me play in the physics laboratory up in the high school and in the chemistry laboratory, biological laboratory. Yeah, I blew things up, and I had lots of fun and learned a lot of things. And back in those days, being a ham radio operator was something that was very exciting. Radios made of vacuum tubes, and so I built radios and learned how to fix them. And that's how I got interested in science and engineering. And then, of course, I went on to good schools, Caltech and MIT, and learned a lot of math and a lot of physics, and eventually a lot of computing. I'm mostly a computer programmer and a little bit designer of hardware. My training actually is in electrical engineering, so I can both build things and program things. Well, maybe a example of some sounds that would be good to play now. One of the most interesting kinds of sounds was the human voice. And in fact, we made the first computer song. It was Daisy Bell, a bicycle built for two, and it became so associated with computers that when they made the movie HAL, why, that was the little song that HAL sang on his spaceship. But the example that we have recorded here is a computer soprano, in other words, a computer pretending to be a soprano singing. So let's see, Richard, you have got this example set up. Would you like to say anything about it? Yes, we started out with, well, music one, and we tried that program and found it wasn't very good, and eventually we wrote music two, and then we got some composers to come and work with us, and I eventually quit after writing music five, which was the predecessor of the program C-Sound that made this soprano that Richard was describing. In the early days, computers were very big and not very fast. The computers that I used filled one enormous room. It looked like a room full of 30 or 40 refrigerators, all full of vacuum tubes, busily computing. The composer didn't go into the room and play on a keyboard. Instead, he went to a key punch. In those days, information, you talk to computers by punching little holes in computer cards, and then you could stick this into the computer and it would read those. This one disk would hold as much information as you could get into a bookcase full of these cards. The composer would decide what notes he wanted to play in his composition, and he would write out the notes on separate cards, and then he would put them into the computer, and then he would wait. Sometimes he had to wait a long time because it might take the computer an hour to calculate one second of sound. So he couldn't play the computer like you play a violin. It was just too slow. But he could, overnight, say, get his music performed and listen to it the next day, and then decide if it was what he wanted, and possibly revise the music and play it again. So that composers were very interested in this, because instead of having to wait around for months or years for an orchestra to play their piece, they could make their music themselves and hear it immediately. Nowadays, computers have gotten much smaller and much faster, so that the latest invention that I've worked on, this device here, the radio baton, and the little computer that is behind it, you can play these things like a normal musical instrument, and hear what you're playing, and adjust the way you're playing depending on what you hear to get an expressive musical performance. And that is really a exciting thing that's happened in just the last few years. That's a good question. And my training was as an electrical engineer. I consider myself an instrument maker. I make or invent musical instruments. I'm not a composer, and I'm not a performer, even though I sometimes play. But I really love music, and I have loved music all my life. And one of the most important things to me is to make new musical instruments that are easier to play than traditional instruments. Well, yes, I play the violin as an amateur player, but the violin is a very difficult instrument to play. I can't play nearly as well as Mark can play, for example, even though I've played the violin for many more years than he has played. So I think it's important to make instruments that are easier to play than the violin, even though I continue to love to play the violin. No, I don't know anything about that, I'm sorry to say. Yeah, the program was named after me because a friend of mine wrote the program. And it's a program that you can actually play in real time like a normal musical instrument. And what's more, you can build your own instrument with the Max program on the computer by patching together all sorts of different boxes that will do different expressive things to the music. So the nice thing about that program is that you have enormous freedom in designing your own personal musical instruments with it. How many sounds can go into the computer? There's no answer to that question, because you can put in as many different kinds of sounds as you want to. You can put in sounds of traditional instruments, violins and pianos and guitars. You can put in sounds of spaceships and sirens and rock explosions. You can put in sounds of people speaking and people singing. Any possible sound that you can hear with your own human ears can come from the computer. Would this be a time to maybe show the... okay, I'll be glad to do that. As you may have noticed, there aren't any keyboards in the studio today because the new instrument I made doesn't use a keyboard. Instead, it uses what I call radio batons. And these two sticks are radio batons. And in the end of each stick is a little radio transmitter. And in this white box that I'm running my hand over are some radio receivers that receive the signals from the ends of the batons. And by sending the received signals over this cable into this little computer that is behind the baton. Can we show the computer? Ah, there, that's a good picture of the computer. And this is just a normal IBM PC. The computer can follow and know where the baton is located, so that if I wave it around, the computer can follow my gestures. Now, also connected to the computer is a music synthesizer. It's connected by this black cable that's a little hard to see, so we won't worry about that, but the synthesizer is over by Richard. Each time I want to play a note, I ask the computer to send a signal over to the synthesizer. So let's see how that works. I'll turn on the computer. And now, the computer is watching this white baton, and each time I touch the box, it will play a note. You notice that I don't have to select the note I want to play. The computer knows what a particular piece is being played, so it does that automatically for me, so that the things that I do are to decide when to play the note. The computer is now waiting for me to play the next note. And with this other baton, the blue baton, I can control how loud to play the note. So if I want to make it louder, so you can see that with this instrument, I can listen to the music while I'm playing it, and I can control the music, sort of make expressive sounds the way I would like to have it heard, and I don't have to worry about reading the music and putting my fingers down on the right keys of a keyboard. So that's maybe a long answer to the question of...
Yes,
I didn't invent compact discs, but I think that I helped people get interested in them. I showed that you can make music in a digital form. In other words, that you could represent music by numbers. And numbers are very nice because... once you have a digital recording, then it never changes. You never have noise or other things bothering it. And I made the first digital music, and that showed people that digital music was very good. And so then they began to develop ways of making CDs, which store music digitally. And as I think almost everyone now agrees, that's the best way of making a recording. The answer is they're easy to adapt to almost any computer, and especially the Apple, so that my programs can run on Apple PCs or IBM PCs or Next computers or workstations of all sorts. Instruments that are easiest to make on the computer are the percussion instruments, the piano and drums and harpsichords and instruments like that. In some ways, these are the simplest instruments because people play them by either pushing down a key or hitting them, and then the sound just goes ahead and does whatever it's going to do. The instrument that is the hardest to make on the computer is the human voice, because it has the most possibilities for continuous expression, for changing the quality of the sound by how you hold your mouth, and changing the pitch, and changing the vibrato, and making making words and that have meaning. Then the instruments that are somewhere in between the percussive instruments and the human voice in terms of the difficulty and success of making them on the computer are instruments like violins and trumpets and clarinets, where the performer can change the sound and shape the notes, but not as completely as a singer can shape his or her notes. Oh, I started my work a long time ago, in 1957, and I've worked in this area ever since. When did you start, Richard? How are sounds digitally reproduced? Well, the sound wave is first chopped up into little tiny time segments, 44,000 samples each second. Now, what is a sample? Well, a sample is simply the amplitude of the sound wave at that instant in time. And that sample is measured and recorded as a number. Now, numbers can have various accuracies, and on a normal CD, that number is recorded as a 16-digit binary number. That gives an accuracy of about one part in, 80,000. So it's pretty accurate. So the CD itself is simply 44,000 numbers recorded for each second of sound that you listen to. And so there are just a lot of numbers on one very small disc, and of course they have to be played back very rapidly because they have to be reproduced at that rate of 44,000 numbers per second. Well, you can certainly create new performances. In fact, you can create your own interpretation of a particular piece of music so that instead of, for example, buying a CD and putting it onto your CD player and listening to the music, you'll buy the score of the piece of music you want to perform and put it into your own computer synthesizer They'll probably be built into a single box. And then you pick up your baton, like an orchestra conductor, and make your own interpretation of the music. Play it as fast as you want to in part, or as slow as you want to. Make it loud here and soft there. Just how you feel about that particular piece of music. So that will be your own personal performance. And I think that's new. I hope that this will be on the market within a couple of years. Everything about this, except the actual baton itself, is already on the market. You can buy the computer and you can buy the synthesizer. So the complicated parts of the system are already purchasable, and it's only the easiest part that still has to be marketed and mass-produced, manufactured, and marketed.
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you for asking that question. I have 12 patents, but my favorite invention by far is the radio baton. I don't think it will. I think people are going to continue to love traditional music in the same way that they love it now. I think that the new electrical music is just going to offer additional ways that people can enjoy music. You heard me play a little bit of the Bach Sonata in G, and that happened to be the way that I like to interpret that piece. But that isn't the only way of interpreting it. Each person has his own mode of expression. And so I thought you might like to hear Adam play that same piece on the radio baton so you could hear the difference between his interpretation and others. I like that very much, and also is very different than the way I do it, which really pleases me. So I hope you enjoyed that. I want to show another way of using the radio batons that do not involve a score in the computer memory. This is a way of improvising with the radio baton. And this is a program called Runs. And in this program, the computer watches this white stick. And when the white stick gets close to the surface, it starts playing. The pitch of the notes is controlled by where the stick is in the left-right direction. So Runs going up or down, like that. And the loudness is controlled by where the stick is in this dimension. So I can be soft. And the second stick, the blue stick, controls how the white stick works. So if the blue stick is down here, I get slow notes. And if it's up here, I get fast notes. If it's up here, I get big jumps between notes. And down here, I get notes that are close together. The blue stick is also the pedal. So that the sustain pedal, so that if I hold the blue stick down, the notes sustain when I lift it, like that. So this is a program that's intended to be fun to just diddle with. So I wonder if, Sarah, you would like to come up and try this program. There's certainly lots of things that one can do. The names of the programs are the conductor program and the runs program. The programs aren't yet available because you can't yet buy a radio drum and a radio baton, and the programs need the radio baton to work. But I hope that I can get a company to start manufacturing the radio baton soon, and then I'll certainly make my programs available in stores. You say, why is the technology come sooner than in schools? I don't think it should. I think schools should be some of the first places to use these new instruments. And a school like Talcott Mountain Center here, as you can see, is interested in this kind of music. And I guess it's up to you to get your school interested. In my program, it's very simple to put in the song. You just write in the notes that you want played. If you want to play a scale, C, D, E, F, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you just write those in like you were writing a letter. And then when you get it written in, you simply turn on the conductor program and tell it to play that particular song, and then you start conducting with the baton, and it'll play the notes you've written in. They aren't available to be ordered yet, at least the radio baton is not. But anyhow, you ask about the price. Well, I use an IBM PC, and IBM PCs today cost somewhere between $500 and maybe $1,500. And in fact, the $500 PC is perfectly good enough for this program. Then you need a synthesizer of some sort. And I guess the least expensive synthesizers perhaps cost $100. And the one that I use costs about $1,000. And you can get more expensive synthesizers, but probably nothing above $2,000. So $100 to a couple thousand dollars for the synthesizer. And if the batons get mass-produced, then I think they will be fairly inexpensive, like maybe about $200. So that's how I see the cost of the equipment. The thing that influenced me toward that was that I like to play the violin, but I found that the violin was very difficult for me to play, and I really can't play it well. So I wanted to make an instrument that would be easy to play and also an instrument that would be more powerful than a violin in terms of being able to make a richer and a greater variety of sounds. Well, I think that the program is continually being improved, and I think there'll be lots more improvements. I've been working on the conductor program and the conductor concept for about 10 years. The radio baton is just the most recent form of that, and I've been working on that for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely correct. We made some new programs that we were thinking about using last night for the concert. Uh-huh. How this will be used in the future? Well, I think it'll be used in two ways. I think composers like Richard will make a lot of music for it, and that this will get played in concerts. And I also think that lots of people will have radio batons in their own homes to play their own music in this active listening kind of playing that I think will be very exciting. I believe that computers are going to make it possible for more people to be musicians. I think there are lots of people who would really like to be musicians who don't have the athletic abilities to play traditional instruments. I mean, you have to be able to move your fingers awfully fast and awfully accurately to play normal pieces. And with the help of a computer, you don't have to do that. And if you feel music in your soul, this gives you a way of playing it that you don't have with the past instruments. And so I think that as a result, there'll be more musicians. Yes, you can get good saxophone sounds. That's one of the better instruments that can be made on the synthesizer. And you can guitars and clarinets and other woodwinds, and also brass instruments. They all come out pretty good.